Okay, I think we're ready.
And welcome to The Hot Flush, the premier podcast for the perimenopausal. You're joined by your host, Mrs. Woog, and my gorgeous friend,
Mrs. Berry.
We've been.
Just had a bit of a break.
We just had a break.
And in Why did we have a break?
I've had a breakdown.
You did.
I did.
It wasn't intentional, was it?
It
wasn't something we were really planning on.
And just before we get into that, welcome to all of our new flushes. We've had a lot joined in the last couple of days because someone gave us a shout out
on the
big page. So welcome.
Okay.
And welcome to the crazy.
Yeah. I can't tell you why there's going to be a lot of love in the room today, but we're back.
We're back. And thank you for all those people who reached out wondering what had happened to us. But we were on a break.
I was kind of done with this, just the social media sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it had been brewing a bit because I'd been having some issues with the Facebook page.
Yeah.
And then there was a few – there were just a few little comments that – and it's not – I know the vast – like 99.9% of our hot flushes
– brilliant.
Are brilliant.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. And, of course, it's the 0.00000001.
It's the rule of troll.
It's the one or two.
Yeah.
Who then start
– cut through.
Sort of the critiquing and the making – and it's like, listen, if you're not paying us, like this is not a paid service. Hello, dear Patreon followers.
We love you. We were just talking about you.
We're not meant to have favorites, but we do. And you are them. So if you are listening and, you know, you have issues with us or me or Woogs and you're just listening for free.
Fuck off.
Just fuck off. Like, stop. Like, how many times do we do this with trolls? Like, just don't listen, don't follow, whatever it is. Like, just don't do it. And it kind of just reached a point for me where I went, yeah, I just need a bit of space.
Yeah, we need a break.
I've stepped back from Instagram as well. And again, a huge thank you to a couple of you who have pinged me and sort of gone, are you okay? Like, I kind of live for your Insta stories.
So do I.
Where are they?
I know, I've missed them too.
I really hate the changes like that they made like a couple of months ago. I hate the new interface on
what does that even mean?
How you have to swipe right to then post a story, but it automatically just wants you to post a story, not a photo, and how you have to just how it loads. And it completely, for me, since the latest version, probably I get about 80% less comments than I was getting. And the whole reason I do it is that sense of connection and community. Yeah, I love the little convos about what I've cooked or the latest, you know, time I've fallen down or, you know, like, oh, look, Kim, that's a great story. You've got food on your shirt. Like, I love all that. And it's gone. The new format has taken it away. And so that's spoilt it for me. And so now I just got tired of using it but hating it.
Yeah, God, no, why would you do that? Well, that's why I took
And again, I'm using it for free. So if I'm going to bitch and moan and hate it, don't use it.
Yeah, exactly. If you want to join our Patreon page, how do they do that?
They can either go to Patreon, which is Patreon, on the website, on the interwebs, and then just search for The Hot Flush, or you can go to our page. And one of the pinned announcements at the top of the page is the post by Woogs on how you can become a Patreon follower. You can give us $1 a week. You can give us $50 a week.
You can give us $100,000 a week.
You can give us, yep.
But if you value what we do, and we are just starting to sit back and realise how long we've been doing this for, and you know, coming back to the reason why we do it, and the reason why we do it is because we actually think this is a really important space.
Yes.
To
also,
keep talking.
While it was nice to have a break, and it wasn't even really intentional, it just kind of happened and we both just went, it's just not there. Like, let's just not try and pump out an episode if we're not feeling it.
Yeah.
It was not good for either of us in that we didn't see each other each week. And we've now been doing this for basically 5 years where we essentially see each other.
What did you call us earlier? Like an early adopter? Everyone's got a podcast now, but we were actually one of the first.
We're early adopters of technology. Hey, speaking of new technology, have you heard about the Clubhouse?
Okay, let's just put a line under that, Sam. Thank you for welcoming us back. No hard feelings. I actually had a week. I just want to address this now. I had a week without sleeping.
Yep, we need to talk about this.
Due to certain circumstances, and I've been, you know, in counselling. I've been to the – I went to a gynecologist who was a specialist who Kim –
What did I call him?
Kim has a special name for him.
Dr. Money Cunt.
Okay. So he saw me and I was weeping – and he said, well, what do you do for a living? And I went, I write comedy. And he just looked at me with disdain. He was an older man, Macquarie Street.
Macquarie Street. Woogsy sent me a photo of his waiting room that looked like an art gallery.
I know, it was ridiculous.
It was quite funny. It was a big lamp. And she said, I think that's what he's going to use between my legs later on. But he didn't use that. He just used patronising derision. They were his shining lights. So Dr. Money Cunt can just go and shove it up his ass.
Because
what did he tell you to do?
He told me to go on antidepressants.
Yeah.
And what am I on?
Antidepressants.
Antidepressants.
And who did he tell you to go and see? A psychiatrist.
A psychiatrist.
She's sitting there like the living embodiment of perimenopause.
Oh, my God, tick every box.
And he says, I think you need to go and see a psychiatrist.
Yeah, fuck. And I just stood up and I walked out and they've rung me about 6 times for my follow-up appointment and then I had to go and get some sort of nasty imaging thing done and I'm just not ringing any of them back.
No.
No. Done. No. PM me for his name in case you want to avoid him.
Yes.
Anyway, so then it kept going and the no sleep thing caught up with me on Monday where I woke up. Oh, I didn't wake up because I hadn't slept. And I rang Kim early in the morning and I was like, I'm going to just walk down to the end of my road and throw myself onto the Sydney Harbour Bridge, off the Sydney Harbour Bridge. And Kim said,
you need to go and see someone who will listen to you. And I said, she needed to go and see my gyno, to which she burst into tears. And I can't go and see someone else. No, this is the crux of where Woogs was at. She has not been having decent sleep for the better part of 12 months, maybe 18.
Yeah, it's been my obsession.
She has had ongoing depression. She has had periods that are so debilitating she can't leave the house.
I'm really fun at parties.
her mood swings are gold medal Olympic standard.
Kathy Freeman.
And all of these things have been ticking on for this long.
Too long.
She has been to a gyno. Oh, Felix is calling me. That's weird. She has been to specialists.
Kinesiologists.
The whole caper.
Acupuncture.
But the underlying causes around her, the periods and what's happening in her whole female reproductive system, no one was listening to her.
No.
She was going to specialists. They were sending her off for tests and then nothing would happen.
No.
So I said to her.
I think that had a lot to do with my frustration
as well. Oh, she was in tears and she just said, no one is listening to me. And I feel like for women who are perimenopausal, that is the catchphrase.
Absolutely.
I am perimenopausal. No one is listening to me. And the fact
that... And it's a fight. Like you have to go home, take your armour off, plan a new way to attack it.
Yep.
And it's just bullshit. And I've been speaking to so many women over the last 2 weeks saying, you know, and then they said no. And then they said, you know, it's just you have to suck it up.
Yeah.
You don't have to suck it up.
You don't have to suck it up. So... When I suggested she goes to my gyno, who is a beautiful man, that broke her even further, which was not my intention. And then I said, you need to go and see Talat. And Talat, I can't remember her surname, which is terrible. She was the gyno who was on Insight with us. And she is a remarkable woman. She has set up a medical practice up near the Northern Beaches Hospital, which is just a female health practice.
Her name is Talat, T-A-L-A-T, Uppal, U-P-P-A-L. And her clinic is at 6 Hilmer Street, French's Forest. It's called the Women's Health Road. If you're in Sydney, just, oh my God, I can't tell you how amazing she and how smart she was.
So Woogs rang her because we had obviously had her details from when we did Insight together. And Talat just said, come in.
Now.
So Woogs basically, what did you do? You sat in her room.
I just sat in her room and I said, Dr. Talat, I know you've got patients and I'll fit in wherever I can. And then I got really hungry and I ordered McDonald's Uber Eats a surgery, which I think was probably the first time that's ever happened. But she just made me feel really comfortable. She was actionable and I walked out of there with a Mirena IUD, which is going to release the progesterone and the estrogen gel for my arms, which is going to release the estrogen.
Yeah.
And
I'm really interested in this estrogen gel. So it's transdermal. It just, yes. You rub it on. So it's not a patch.
Not a patch. Just one pump on every arm. And every woman's different, so you've got to listen
right.
to
your specialist.
So I just – like that actually took 50% of the anxiety away.
Oh, yeah.
Knowing that I was listened to.
Yeah. You were listened to and action was taken.
Yeah. It wasn't and now, like come back and get some bloods and like I was done. I've done that 10 times.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
So that's where our Woogsy was at and it was really – I was
bad.
I was so angry on her behalf because we do this and we've done this for so long.
And I know a lot about this shit.
And yet, yeah, and yet it was happening to you.
And when I was with Mr. Dr.
Money Cunt,
he was so condescending towards me.
Oh.
And I said, mate, I know a little, like you know more. I said, but I've had some experience in this area. Like, you know, we've got a podcast. We work with doctors, we've been on television, radio. Well, you know, this is not a new thing for me. I know what's going on.
Yeah.
I just thought I'm not going to actually spend one more cent in your presence because you're not listening to me.
Was his first consult like $585 or something?
Oh, he put me off because he had to go and deliver a baby. So I had to sit there for an hour, which is fine because apparently that's where the money is. Obstetrics, not gynecologist. So if you are out there, don't see an OB-GYN, see a GYN.
Ooh.
And so someone of our age and a woman.
Yeah.
Because they don't understand.
No.
Okay, let's move on.
How are your weeks? Well, I think we've just covered off on you.
I probably don't need to tell you any more than that. You keep talking because I'm going to get the party pies out of the oven.
Oh, she's cooked us some party pies. Love a party pie. You know, you can whack them in an air fryer and they only take about 15 minutes. So meanwhile, my weeks are... I have had, you know how I always talk about how stressed I am with work. I'm not actually stressed. I just have an enormous amount of work to do. And if I procrastinate or take my eye off the prize for at least any part of the day, then I'm screwed. So I am really like, I call it my, when you have to be the roadrunner. And the roadrunner analogy is you just got to be like a, just go, just fast and furious, go meep meep. And so I'll literally just be working and if I start to flag.
So did the coyote get after you? Did he chase you this week?
My coyote chases me, all right.
Oh, Jesus.
And so, yeah, it's really just like I just use that in my head when I'm sort of starting to flag. It's just like meep meep, just keep going meep meep because I know what my tendency is, which is I can just make my working day last 16 hours if I want, like particularly on the 2 days that I work from home. Because I'll just sort of, oh, do a bit, and then I won't do a bit, and then I'll do it. And I'm like, I don't have time because I've lost one, a human who works with me while she's on another project. And so it's just like, nah, just meep, meep. So that's been that. There's been a lot of intermittent wedding discussion.
It's very exciting.
I know.
Hey, do you know that Zara skirt I bought the other day, which was like the
Miss Havisham?
Yes. I thought Rob would look lovely in that on his wedding day.
Yeah, but he wants a colour. He wants like red. He wants to wear red.
Jesus Christ.
I know.
Things are grim.
I know. He wants to wear a red dress. And I'm like, I want it to be some big, like I want
a
him.
A ball gown.
Yeah, I want him in like a ball gown.
So good.
Wouldn't it be hilarious? You know what we've settled on?
What?
We're doing it in the afternoon at home, afternoon tea, with a little ceremony.
Finger sandwiches and champagne?
Yep.
Beautiful.
Finger sandwiches. It's cake and bubbles.
Lovely.
I'm doing a cake table.
You have to do some sandwiches because you know how I feel about a sandwich.
I know. I do love a good little cut sandwich. Well, what I thought, because the cake table's just going to be one of every sort from Flour and Stone. I'm not having a wedding cake. We're having wedding cakes. And they do a little catering. They have another – you can get sort of some catering.
For our new listeners, Kim is enfianced.
I'm enfianced. And it's official now because Robbie's officially D-I-V-O-R-C-E.
D. And I witnessed the fact that he is now on your Medicare card. Well, you're all on the same Medicare.
Yeah, not Medicare card. Yet, but on his health insurance.
His health insurance.
I know. I think his health insurance must just have suddenly gone, what the fuck?
What? Premiums are going up, people all over Australia.
It was just
because,
like,
we've got this new family joining us.
Yes. So that's but it's the first sort of thing that has all of us on it, which is pretty that's pretty nice.
That's lovely.
Oh, look, I'm just getting a hot flush.
Oh. You are. You've gone red.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it? Yeah. Okay. They're back at the moment because I think I'm quite stressed.
Yeah.
But it's manageable. Like, my stress is managed. Like, I'm not like losing it. I'm just...
Okay, if you're out there listening and you get hot flushes, how bad are they? Like, mine, I get nauseous now.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I need to spew.
Yeah, same. I had one like that this morning. I was up. I was just sitting on the lounge waiting for Grover to get ready to take him for baseball photos because apparently I still do that. God, how many decades, people?
Yeah, enough.
I was sitting on the lounge and just it came over me and I went, oh, I'm going to vomit.
Yeah.
I had to rush to the kitchen sink and I did the dry heaving and and Grover was like, are you okay?
And then you think you're going to pass out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's so much fun.
We went to a new...
Glad you joined us, our new listeners.
Rob and I went to a new craft beer place that's opened in Brookvale last night called Bucketies. And I was talking to the owners because I'm going to do a story on them because it's a new fit out and
lovely.
You know, the new startup brewery and stuff. And yeah, just got a hot flush right in the middle of it. And it was literally just, I'm mopping water, like sweat off my face, off my head. That was after I went to shake his hand and I knocked my soda water over and just sent it sprawling across the table and all over my car keys and in the beep, beep bit. And yeah. So. I always make quite the professional impression when I'm, got my work hat on.
So, new people, Kim is the editor of a trade publication called...
Food and Drink Business, of which this is nothing, you know, blah-de-blah. But, yes, it's a trade mag. I love it. I work with awesome people. I work for an awesome company.
And I am a trophy wife.
Well, kinda.
I am at the moment until I sort my shit out and get my mojo back. But I'm back writing now and that's feeling a lot better, I've got to tell you.
I'm very happy about that. So this is actually something I want to touch on because – oh, and I'm starting – my uni course starts in 2 weeks. It's just part – it's just part-time. It's at night. It's, you know, like online.
Why are you adding?
I know. Well,
what the hell is wrong with you?
So I have a great job. I love it. I love the company I work for, but I work in media. I'm a journo. I work in media. My job
could go tomorrow.
Yep. And I need to do things that will make me employable. And
this is where we differ.
I haven't done anything that's I haven't done any form of study in 20 years. And it's like, okay, you need to just.
So what are you studying?
Behavioural economics. I know.
Sounds dry as a nun's nasty.
It's at UTS and it's in the School of Business. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm a business student. Isn't it so funny? If there's any level of like stats or something in it, I'm screwed. Like,
I'll just look
at it and just go numeral. No, it's kind of a cross between psychology and
so there's a marketing slant.
Marketing, psychology, and business.
Yeah.
So I'm really interested in it in terms of it's all about how we make decisions and why we make them and then try and why then we are very reticent to change our mind on things. And so I'm very interested in it, both from what I currently do in terms of what consumers buy and why they do. But I'm really also interested in it from a point of like a political space.
Yeah, interesting.
So I'm about to do that. But there's something else I was just going to tell you. Oh, it's gone now.
Oh, and that's the other thing, the brain fog.
Oh,
let's talk about fashion. Because I'm looking at you and I've got to tell you, readers, listeners, that she is donning a pair of very chic Kermit the Frog
green. They're my Kermit glasses. Yeah.
And she's looking and she's got a black linen shift on. She's got some asymmetrical sort of earrings on. She looks like the model ABC employee.
Employee.
And Livusta.
Did you see someone posted on the Facebook page that little fashion story and they were talking about I'm at that age.
Yeah.
And it was like it the signature so age, good. The signature glasses. Yeah. And I'm going, linen, tick. Signature glasses, tick. Signature haircut, tick. I'm all over it.
Focal earrings?
Yes. Focus yeah, that's earrings? What they called them. Yeah.
Oh my
statement.
God.
Statement earrings, statement rings.
I'm not quite there yet. I'm not quite there yet.
Because you're in a leopard print, so you're, you know.
Yeah, I'm borderline. But fashion. Apparently if you paint your hair. Oh, new old ones.
Right.
Yeah. Apparently if you part your hair on the side and you wear skinny jeans, according to like the 15, 16-year-olds, you're a loser.
Oh.
Yeah.
So is the
Generation X, that's who we are. Apparently.
Yes, we're Gen X.
We are quite
baggy. Well, what annoys me is that our children's generations, so I kind of the so not the millennials, they're before the millennial. Like they're no, they're so I think
there's the boomers.
The boomers, the Gen Ys, the no, is that right? No, the Gen Xs, the Gen Ys, the millennials, but and then there's the Gen O's or something. Anyway, the thing that annoys me is they lump us with the boomers. And it's like, we're not boomers.
Okay, so we've got the traditionalists or the silent generation, which are the real old people who are dead. Then we have the baby boomers. Then we have Generation X, waving the flag here. We have the millennials or the Gen Ys. And then we've got the Gen Zs. Or the iGens are those people who are born after 1996. So that would include all of our children.
Yeah. So what are they? The Gen Whats?
Gen Z.
They're Gen Zs.
Or iGen.
iGen.
Small I, capital G.
Of course. Yeah. They'd prefer
losers.
That.
Anyway.
So is the middle part still the thing? Just dead straight middle part?
Dead straight middle part. Skirts either the size of that tea towel over there that you can buy for $100.
Yeah.
There's a particular brand that they all covet. Jack has fully embraced the 70s vibe.
And I know.
And he says the vibe a lot. And I'll say, what about this? And he's like, just don't buy clothes for me, Mum. So he's wearing his caramel cords out tonight. Flares.
And he rocks them because he has the height and
yeah, the body.
The body and blah, yeah. blah. But the idea of caramel cords in this weather, I get chafe and thrush all in the one go. Like just.
You've got it now because you've just said caramel cords.
The hot crotch would just kill me. The sweats that would come from the hot crotch.
Anyway, so I have gotten involved in a media platform called TikTok. Which all the youngins are on.
The media platform. You're hilarious.
I know.
TikTok.
Of course, I have an account, but I'm not. I have been banned from ever putting something on.
Have you? I put some dances of me and Bronwyn.
Which makes me want to actually do it.
I had some videos up of me, Bronwyn and Marina doing some dance moves that Lana taught us, which is Marina's daughter, who is an iGen. That's pretty funny.
That's it. Well, I've been banned from both my sons' TikTok. Anyway, so all of a sudden I understand why my kid has vines around his room, has LED light strips around his room, has like mirrors here and there, and how he uses things like aesthetic.
Yes.
In normal sentences.
Yes.
He's so influenced by this TikTok thing. I think Instagram influences are on the way out as well. Mm. But this TikTok thing. So I have learnt so much about my kids from TikTok.
I can't believe it's taken you this long. How did I not talk to you about this before?
I still don't understand my blog. I don't understand WordPress. Anyway, one thing I've taken notice of is there's this thing around at the moment called milkmaid fashion. Kim, would you like to explain?
Well, okay. So this is, I mean, okay, this is what I imagine when you say milkmaid. I imagine some little German dress, like almost like what they have make them wear at that German Umpapa. Like so a fitted the boobs sort of coming out over a top of a little frilly thing and then little cap sleeves, but it's all like elasticized and just tight. And then the hair where they do those plaits that come up over the top of your head. We had a teacher who did that at school. Like, her hair was exactly the same every day. It was in a plait up over her head, and she had no eyebrows, and she had them tattooed on, which was quite a remarkable thing in if you think that it was like 1986, 87.
If you do follow me on Instagram, you can go to my latest story where I sort of deep dive into milkmaid fashion. Oh. And it's all about having your tits out, halves out, low cut square or sweetheart neckline with some puffy sleeves.
Wow.
Someone actually got in touch with me today and said her daughter, who was 15, asked her if she could whip up a pinafore because they were going on a picnic.
It's the resurgence of Holly Hobby.
Fuck, see, we're always late to the party. We could have nailed that Holly Hobby thing.
Yeah. I had Holly Hobby sheets.
I had Holly wallpaper. Holly Hobby wallpaper. That had 3D, so it had like the little bits of foam, so it pushed the dress out at the bottom. I'm just going to try those party pies again.
Oh, my God. I had Holly Hobby sheets and I loved them. Loved them. We were actually a guy that I worked for very briefly at an AI startup, which was just terrible. Sorry, I've just actually accidentally scrolling Instagram and I've found a picture of Felix that just doesn't even look like Felix. Look at that hair. I'm wondering if he actually did that last night.
Have you seen the show? He's probably on did that Stan. Last night.
God.
Have you seen the show on Stan called It's a Sin?
I can't actually watch it. It's going to make me too sad.
Oh, it's fantastic.
So I watched
No, it's on Hulu. No, it's on Stan.
No, it's on Stan. There was a show that I watched, I can't remember what it was, a couple of weeks ago that really touched on is it the 40 year anniversary of it first?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's too close. It's too – I remember when it broke. I remember how horrible people were.
And dreadful.
I remember when that little girl Eve got it from a blood transfusion and how she was ostracized. Australia actually handled it quite well in terms of they did the Grim Reaper one was actually like, this can affect anyone. Like our public health campaign was actually quite progressive.
Well, it was horrendous, you know, but progressive.
Someone that worked with one of mum's closest friends at the school she was with, he died. We went to his funeral. It's all too close. I can't.
Well, you're not in the right headspace, but when you're ready to face it.
Because everyone tells me it's just remarkable and the music
Oh, my God. It's fun. It's really lovely and it's sad and everything else. But anyway, let's crack on. Are you going to be donning a milkmaid dress anytime soon?
No. Do you know what this is? This is the new – do you remember when the prairie on the prairie thing happened and everything was the layers and the – and the shabby chic sort of thing?
I saw a photo from a newspaper website showing like 10 influencers up at Byron Bay all wearing the same sort of dress in different colours. And I'm like,
was it very tonal?
It was very tonal. I was like, fucking hell. Like, this is why you need to get off your phones, off social media, put your head in a book. Mm. And get your head out of that whole space because it is just becoming more and more ridiculous.
Yeah. And I think, you know, when I yelled at everyone on the page just before we went into a bit of our own silent
lockdown,
and I was like, walk away from the computer. Stop spending hours on this, on our page, on any page, on any, just stop it.
Yeah,
give yourself an hour a day or two unhealthy. Right? And then I sort of went, yeah, you need to do the same thing. It's just like, and me yelling at Instagram. Yeah, just stop using it then if you hate it so much.
Can you do an Instagram live during our break? Because we're going to have a quick break to eat some party pies.
We're going to have some pies.
And we're going to come back and look at what's been going on in your life. Not yours.
Are we there already?
Yeah, we are.
Wow. Oh, can I just tell you something that...
Is it not about music? Please, no.
No, it's not about music.
Okay.
Because you know how we sort of do it in the news and then we just go, whatever. How lovely is it that the news is no longer about... you know, president number 45 or 46 or whatever he was. Isn't it great?
Oh my God.
And like dad's in the White House and it just feels like everything's going to be okay.
And they took their rescue dogs in.
And the dogs. Dr. And then Jill. And Dr. Jill put those love heart things on the lawn and they all went out and had a look. And Dad Joe was just like, this is her favorite day of the year. And, you know, and it's just like, oh my God. And you know what? Even if he fucks some things up, it'll be fine. Like it won't.
Oh, no.
It could be really bad, but it won't be as bad. Now there is a whole new scale of fuck up.
I can't actually believe that all happened.
I know.
Anyway, we'll be back with you. Yeah. After this.
There's one more thing.
Okay.
Because that was an aggression of the in the news. The other in the news was there's an article in The Atlantic at the moment, and it's about all the inquiry and the research they're doing at the moment about where it actually started, like where COVID-19 started.
Did they say something about Australian beef at some point? Chinese aren't liking us at the moment.
There was an issue about beef, Australian beef exports to China in that they weren't labelled correctly and China used that as a nice way to, you know, one of 10 Australian exports to China last year that China just went, fuck yeah. I want to come back. I'm going to circle back to Clubhouse too. But this article in The Atlantic was talking about how they're coming, like the research and the inquiry that they're doing into discover where it came from. And don't look on this as some sort of racist attempt to pin it. This is a really important process in terms of something like a virus, working out where it started so you can, right? It doesn't. It could be in parks. It could be. It doesn't matter.
Pennsylvania.
Right? Yeah. Right. So basically, almost next to the wet market in Wuhan is a top high security medical research facility.
It's got to be something medical.
Yeah. And so they're suspecting that it's come out of there. Which, of course, you know, China's having issues around that, as you would, any country would. But yes, it's probably. But what the Atlantic article does is then this whole deep dive into how this is not that rare. This happens apparently all the time. And it goes into all these different cases about where it's happened and how things have come out of, escaped here or leaked from there. And so really interesting in terms of getting a better, broader take on these discussions than what we tend to get in the hysterical mainstream media. Also going to have a rant later about the Google thing.
Okay, I'll put that on the list.
Just put that on there.
Okay, we'll see you after our meat pie. And we're back from our break. I hope you enjoyed that advertisement that you heard for fuck all, because apparently we are not relevant anymore. Anyway, I just want to share a couple of things, a bit of feedback, Kim.
Oh, feedback.
I got a message. Years ago, I'd been seeing a GP for depression. She asked how I was feeling after a few weeks of antidepressants. I said I felt good. And only when folks were super annoying did I want to smash their heads into concrete poles. I said, but that's pretty normal, though, for everyone. She cracked up laughing and said, no, it's not. She was wrong. I knew it then and I know it now. And just to swing back to the milkmaid outfits,
wanted
to know, it's called Cottage something.
Oh, it is not.
That's the thing. It celebrates an ideal rural life and developed because of COVID, so people weren't going on. The movement gained further traction in many online spheres and on social media in 2020 due to the mass quarantining in response to COVID. Such as Tumblr had 150% increase in cottagecore posts.
No, do you remember cottagecore? This is not new. Do you remember? This was like years ago we had the whole cottagecore thing happening.
Well, that's a new word for me.
This is a resurgence. I'm sure it was around in like 2017 or something.
The trend has been described by Vox as the aesthetic where quarantine is romantic instead of terrifying. Yes, and you're right. It was actually 2010.
Yeah. It came along with the whole prairie dress thing.
Yeah.
Mm. That's right, cottagecore. I'd forgotten that it was called that.
I'm so glad I never got into that.
Oh, my God. Yes, and then people were just like... And then the whole sourdough thing would play into that. And, you know, the whole, yeah,
Grow your own veggies and get chicks. Hey,
so I'm going to have I'm going to have two minor rants.
Okay, she's going to have a rant. I'm going to finish this pie. Go.
So the first one is about the Australian government telling Google that it can't run the internet the way the internet was actually designed and what it was meant for, in that it's saying you can no longer, you can no longer post stories from Australian news agencies without paying them for it. It's like, that's not how the internet works. Like, you put in a search and results come up. Like, things come up because that's what its algorithms do. And then people will go on about how they set up their algorithms certain ways. So if you advertise with them, then you that's called capitalism, people. That's actually a completely different issue to Google's algorithm.
I mean, we're not talking model. About the Bible here, are we?
Right. And the thing is, yes, it brings up the search results and then people click on that and go to the page of, the Herald or the Australian.
The most relevant.
Right.
Article.
And yet the Australian government, like, we are seriously looking like a laughing stock on the world stage. Rob and I, like, Rob sends me these great
we'll be
things.
Wearing cottage core.
I know. It's just like, are we just so...
At Paris Fashion Week.
Yes. So that's – people just stop thinking that this is some great thing that the Australian government is doing because they're just, oh, my God. Anyway, there's a fantastic person called Benedict Evans who's a tech writer who's just awesome. So – and this is a bit from him. Australia's online news fight. More entertainment from the Australian project to make search engines and social networks and no one else – pay to link to newspapers and no one else at an arbitrary and undisclosed price with no economic foundation. After Google said this made no sense and would make it hard to do business, Microsoft, out of pure, and then it's got in bracket, and then it's got altruism, opportunism, which is crossed out, altruism, says that it will be happy to run Bing on that basis. Hilarious. It's hilarious. Anyway, the other thing I wanted – so just, guys, this is not about making the big guys pay. This is a really misguided attack or attempt that is basically happening because News Corp is putting huge pressure on Frydenberg and the government and their pussies, and so they're kowtowing to it.
Do you know Rupert's like 89?
Oh, God, can he just die already?
I know.
Fuck. That's a terrible thing to say.
You know, you're going to be targeted now, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
Watch out.
Come at me.
Following you.
Come at me. Also, there is, I don't believe in the man in the clouds, but I do when I discover that Eddie Maguire has gone.
Now, that was a bright part to the
name world. One thing that man did of any benefit to society.
Let's not even talk
except
about
make him. Well, not except. He just made himself very rich.
Yes. Move on.
Move on. Yep. The other thing I want to talk about was Oscar and the NDIS.
So for those who are new.
Oscar is my eldest and he has a moderate intellectual disability with cerebral palsy and myriad other issues that pop up, when we least expect it. That has come from a very rare genetic
How
disorder.
How old is he now?
23. He Gosh. Will be 24 in 2 weeks.
It was his 21st yesterday.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
I know. Hang on. Is that right? 20. No, it's an
I had one turn 17 the other day.
Maybe he's going to be 23. No, that can't be right. Anyway, I know he's born in 98. So how?
Come on.
So his plan was due, so you put a plan in for renewal for your NDIS funding each year. You can get it set for 2 years, but we had such a shitty plan last year, we just went, no, we don't want that. We're going to, because we had a really poor local area coordinator who helped us pull our plan together and we got screwed over by a support agency, right? So that's why last year's was terrible. We ran out of money in November and then two of his agencies actually just kept his services going through the goodness of their own heart. That is an example of a not functioning system. Anyway, so we put his new plan in. We were really happy with it in terms of it's very comprehensive. We're looking at him moving out and moving in with some friends and that's a whole process that could take a couple of years, I think. And then the due date, his plan clocks over on the 10th of December. We put it in at the beginning of November. Nothing. And we kept Rob, bless him, kept contacting our LAC and asking where it was, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, on Monday, our LAC said, look, we're just getting nowhere. If you want to put in a formal complaint, let me know. I will, you know, and I just went, I don't need your help for that.
I am woman, hear me roar.
I am mama. I am a mama bear, and you don't. You just don't fuck with a mama bear.
No.
So I found the email address for the CEO of the NDIA, which is the body that runs the NDIS, and then I have contact with my local federal MP because we have had issues with Oscar's funding and supports in the past that has required their input. And I had the number for his community welfare person and a couple of other people I just threw in there for shits and giggles. And within a couple of hours, our LAC got an email saying, and we got an email saying, your plan is in process and you will have be contacted within 48 hours and a decision will be made within 21 days. So we're still like, that's still like a month. That's another month. That's 4 months from when his plan was meant to have been done.
Is this the problem that I had with my experience in the last few weeks? Is I'm so sick of having to advocate for my own health. Like,
it should just be, isn't this just a sign of a civilised society that you go, here is someone who needs
I'm in
support.
Crisis.
You're in crisis. Oh, this is how our system works. No, you shouldn't have to. I should not have to be writing email, you know, letters going, can you please help us? They have rolled over his plan from last year. It is not adequate. It is not going to last. There's other things that we want to get in place for him, but the funding within the plan is not there for us to draw upon. Anyway,
it's annoying.
2 days later, plan's in, done. It's there. So it took me doing that.
I know. And then you stop and think about people who might not know what to do or have the confidence.
Well, this
or,
is,
you know.
And this has been my, from the minute it came in, this has been my argument or my bugbear is that we're.
You're like a very proactive,
educated,
person.
Articulate, know the system.
Bossy.
Bossy. you know, leader. Who know? What if the parent of. The parent has a disability.
Yeah.
What if English isn't their first language?
Oh, there's so
what
many.
If, like, there are so.
Well, you know, our rural friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it just beggar. Anyway, so sorry. I just. They were my two little raves, rants. Raves.
Speaking of rural friends, can I give a shout out to our rural listeners? Because last week I was searching to try and find a serum, right?
Yes.
Skin serum, and it sold out everywhere.
Right.
And so I put a story up on Instagram stories saying I can't get the serum. Like, and I just felt like a dick then. And a listener from Dubbo reached out and said, I think we've got it at Chemist Warehouse. I'll go down and get you and send it to you. And then I was like, oh, I can't ask her to do that. Oh, God, that's so embarrassing.
But you did,
but
though,
I did.
Didn't you?
As you sent me, and I was like, yeah, give me your bank account details and I'll put the money in now. And she was like, no, you give me so much joy. Like, consider it, you know, just a thank you. But then I had.
She's one of our favourites too.
Yeah, she is divine. I'm not going to say her name because, you know, I don't want to, in case she wants to remain anonymous. But then I had 23 other women from the country all over Australia saying, we've got that serum. I'm in the Chemist Warehouse now. Do you want me to get it and send it to you? So then I cried.
Again.
Again. Okay, let's talk at what you are talking about. So I put the question up. Guess who's back after a short break? We're recording. So if you've got any comments, questions or conundrums, fire away. Liz, yippee. Nicole, love to you both. Kira, yes. Catherine, you're both looking sassy. Kathy, burnout. Is anyone else feeling it already? I was very lucky to have a long staycation over Christmas and was okay for the first 2 weeks back at work. But now I'm tired and I'm over it and I'm not sure how I'm going to get through the next 12 months.
Yeah.
Any ideas, welcome.
So my first week back, which was the first week of January, I was on fire. And then the next week was like, I'm done. That's a good year. That last week, that was a good year. And then I really had, like, it took me about a week and a half of just, there was no, I couldn't.
Impending sense of doom?
The impending sense of doom finally lifted probably about middle of last week, but that had been around for pretty much all of January. Yeah. Just this weird ennui, you know, just that don't really know, nothing really wrong, but just feel this just would get this really – and I get this – I'm still getting it. I get this feeling in my tummy of, like, homesickness. Like, what's that all about?
That's weird.
And the thing is, I was talking to my boss about this. Everything in my life at the moment is fantastic. Beautiful partner, kids are great, work is fantastic, you know, all tickety-boo. So why do I have this weird, just every now and then this homesick feeling in my tummy and just general sort of sense of,
Because we do too much. It comes down to the fact that, who am I talking to here? I'm talking to Kathy. Have a look at how much you are doing in a day. Right? And have a look at how much you are doing for yourself in that day. And I'm not going to say that word self-care because that just shouldn't be a thing. It just should happen. Yeah. And burnout is what happens when you're doing too much. You burn out.
Yeah.
You get tired. You get shits. You, like, get resentful.
Yeah.
There's all of these things that are attached to that feeling of just being overwhelmed. And I just, Kathy, the only thing I can say to you is have a look at what you're doing and cut out the stuff that you don't need to do. Cindy says,
do a cull.
Just looking forward to hearing from you both. I'm going to read all of this love out because why not? Marie, little rays of sunshine back into our lives. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Jenny, I love Jenny. Hope your crickety crack back is behaving for you now, Kim.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Good to see you both smiling from Facebook. Rachel says, yay, that is all. And Donna, how do you handle illness, particularly long illness, when those around you struggle with their own self-care? Oh, here we go back to what I was saying with Kathy. I've been ill since early January and the emotional exhaustion is an element that I don't really need. Kim.
I don't have an answer for that.
That's just, yeah.
That situation, that is a real shit sandwich. It really is. Like, when you're not well, like I had many incidences like this with my depression and my anxiety and my back surgery and, you know, when I had my gallbladder out. Like, so many times when I was not well and I needed to rest or to be cared for.
Cared for, because you've gone through all these years caring for everyone else.
And at that point, all of the boys were too little to be doing any of that. And I had a partner who just didn't get it and didn't give it. And so I would have to just pull up and just keep going. And you can only sustain that for so long.
Yeah, I agree.
And I don't – I really actually don't know what the answer is.
Sorry, Donna. We're thinking of you. Emily writes, what am I supposed to do in my life without David? I've been binge-watching Schitt's Creek now and I am sad, tired, hormonal and want more.
Emily, you just go back to the beginning and start watching it again.
I watch it three times. It gets better every time you watch it.
Every time. So if you need a guide, then Woogs and I just watch 30 Rock and Schitt's Creek. So Schitt's Creek is on Netflix. 30 Rock is on
Stan
or it's on Prime. And you just betwixt and between, you know, you'll do a couple of 30 Rock.
I know I'm going to watch telly for an hour. What do I feel like? Do I want David or do I want Liz Lemon?
Yeah.
Good God, Lemon. So glad you're both back. We've missed you. Karen, music to my ears to hear your dulcet tones again. I was wondering what your two households are up to for Valentine's Day.
Obligatory sex day. We're not doing anything. I hate it. Hate it, I tell you. It's just nonsense. It is complete commercial, capitalistic nonsense. If your partner and you are not showing each other love and doing things that show that love as well as saying it every day, then...
tokenism.
Shame on you.
Well... Mr. Woog has booked us a dinner at a restaurant that is like a Valentine's Day set menu, which goes against every fibre of my being. But he did something.
Yeah, that's kind of cute.
He did something. He's never done that before.
Oh, what
do you reckon
does that
he's
mean?
Ask for a divorce?
My husband took me out for dinner on Valentine's Day to ask for a divorce. No, we're not doing anything. It's stupid, obligatory sex
day. Okay, welcome back, ladies.
We might have sex, but that'll just be because we like it.
Welcome back, ladies. I'm 49 today. And plan to mark my 50th year on the planet by doing something for myself, nice for myself, each month until I turn 50. Suggestions.
What a great idea.
I think that is such a lovely idea.
I've never heard of that, and I just, Susie, that is genius.
Okay, so here are some suggestions. Night at the most expensive hotel you can afford by yourself.
Yep.
Long lunch on a Saturday afternoon near the some sort of body of water with your four closest mates.
Yep. Weekend away with
whoever you want.
One month, like a subscription to something. So then you might get like a bunch of flowers delivered every week. Once a, you know, for a month.
A new hairstyle, cut and colour.
A day spa, like a whole day at a day spa or something. So you just get everything, full body massage, nails, toes, face, everything.
Oh, that's such a good idea. I think we should all just put that in practice every year. It doesn't matter if you're turning 50.
I love that.
Leanne. Oh.
Gemma.
If you have lots of aches and pains in your back and hips every day after work, is it because you're old and overweight or unfit or peri or a combination of everything?
All of these things.
All of the above.
Tick all of the above.
Oh, gosh. Are you on your feet all day?
Gemma, my hips have been really dodge as well, but it's my office chair at home and it's just how it, you know, it, that's what's making my hips worse. But yeah.
Voltaren? I don't know.
Oh, I take like Voltaren gel and Voltaren tablet. Like, seriously, it's a miracle I don't have an ulcer.
Leanne, yes, I've missed you ladies. Marie, woohoo! Beverly, do you want to read out Beverly's?
Am I an asshole because I can't cope with my partner's lack of resilience, especially regarding COVID? No.
No.
We live in the inner west of Sydney, so life isn't that bad for us. He doesn't want to do anything, doesn't do a lot around the house except for the washing, when usually he's not bad. So he's not doing a lot around the house except for the washing, but usually he's better than that, I think is what that's saying. Doesn't want to go out. I'm sure he's depressed, but he won't go and see anyone. I have all the mental load and I'm the breadwinner, so I pay the mortgage, rates, car, etc. He shares half food, gas and electricity. At this exact moment, I am done. And hello, ladies. Can't wait to hear your dulcet tones. You've been missed. Hope you're both well.
Beverly,
that's bullshit.
Beverly.
You can always just make an appointment at the doctor's and then do what Glennon Doyle, what her partner did and say they were going out for breakfast and took her to the dentist. So you could always do that, like say that you're going out for brunch but you've made an appointment at the doctor and he has to go in.
Beverly, I think that by talking to him and setting up some timelines to say this is why we're not working. I mean, him not wanting to go out or do anything is a real red flag for depression.
Yeah.
Lost my ability to talk.
Yeah. And I think, he's clearly depressed.
Yeah.
And because you've said that he's normally better than that.
And the mental load thing is so much more exhausting than anyone gives us credit to.
Yeah.
Get him some help. And actually, well, if he keeps resisting, insist on it.
Yeah. See, this is the thing.
Why do we
have to fix them? Why can't he take responsibility for himself and go, yeah, actually, I'm not finding joy in the things I normally do. I'm not really helping out around the house. Poor Bev is just completely run off her feet. Maybe I need to go and do something about this. Why are men so fucking incapable of doing something like that?
Well, this all circles back to our theme of this year, which is that you are responsible for your own happiness.
It just makes, let us know how you Bev, go. I'm just raging on your behalf. Jules, about time. Oh, fuck off, Jules.
Are you a Patreon?
The stars and planets have run amok in your absence.
Oh, wow, that's nice.
We all have bits dripping off us, boobs getting inflamed and frozen's being shouldered. Fairly sure quite a few of us are about to stage a rebellion against all the medical professions.
Oh, you're forgiven.
Except nurses. Nurses are brilliant. Yes, this is true. Jules, I take back my fuck off. And my chooks have gone off the lay. Oh, well, that would do it. Fucking chooks. You know, they feed them. They know things. Do you better go and check though, Jules? Go and look everywhere in your garden, under branches, over hills, under dales, and you know those. You'll find a pile of those eggs somewhere.
But that's very sweet, Jules. And yes, I agree with you.
Oh, can we not? Justine's talks about entitled young men. Yeah, I just.
Well, we've been over that a few times, Justine, and we're running out of time. There are a couple of comments there for you. Christian D.
Oh, no, someone, she's got a husband and wife Facebook account.
Oh, okay. Is that, oh, I didn't know that. That's nice. Oh, my gosh, I'm just so pleased you're back. Really missed you both. Hooray. Mm. Judith, I'm glad you're back. I've missed the incredible accents, hilarious chats. All the way from the UK. Tell me that what the virus is like where you are gives me some hope. Oh, my gosh.
Judith, we're all masks off in Sydney. I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry for Victoria at the moment, who's gone into a hard level 4 shutdown for 5 days because of another escapee infected person in, you know, from a quarantine hotel. But Sydney, we're back today. There's no more needing to separate, have distancing within restaurants. Your only place you need to wear masks anymore is on public transport and in share rides and taxis. So we're feeling pretty – Sydney's feeling pretty good at the moment.
And we feel for you guys.
There's apparently 7,000 people from Sydney – or 7,000 people from New South Wales who have been in Melbourne that are now back in New South Wales. So, you know, this will probably last for about 3 days and then we'll be back in, you know, 100% lockdown. So, you know, we take the good with the bad.
Alison, welcome back. So looking forward to hearing from you both. It feels like Q5 of 2020 and I've cried enough tears this week that Noah pulled his arc out again. The stories from this group from the podcast bring us so much perspective and laughter, and just thank you.
Aww. Christina says, missing your face, Kim, on all the socials. Hope you're having a nice little respite from the tech. Thank you, Christina. And yes, I am. And I'm not really sure when I'll go back. Maybe I will. I don't know.
You have to.
Do I?
Well, I missed you.
And I miss you. I go back. Like, I'm in there and I'm not all the – but seriously, I've probably gone from looking at Instagram for hours a day to about half an hour.
Well, that's probably what you should be doing.
Anyway. Yes, exactly. Yes. I'm probably doing what I should be doing.
And there's a lot of more people saying how much they've missed us. Sarah's very happy as she's lost 7 kilos and she hasn't starved herself. However, I'm stuck. I'm hovering around my original target weight. I did this because of my dud hip, which is tons better, and I just want to go on because I can. Sarah, don't ask Kim and I about diet questions.
I've lost. How much have I lost?
Five.
5 kilos since October last year.
And I think that's massive. And Sarah, like,
I'm just doing intermittent fasting.
Which is not eating between the hours of 7 and 11. 7 p.m.
Oh, yeah. See, that doesn't work for me because sometimes we eat late. So I just don't eat until midday. And then I have a really good lunch and I might have some nuts and a yogurt or something mid-afternoon, and then I have dinner and I only have one serve and I'm generally not drinking any alcohol. And then I might have a period of time when I drink for a couple of days and then I end up where I'm at the moment and I'm all hot, flushy and revolting. So I've lost 5 since October, but I seriously think that most of that has probably been at the beginning of this year because I was in the good paddock for much of the end of last year, let me tell you.
Look, there's so many more comments and we just are running out of time. But, you know, thanks for putting up with our little hiatus. Kim, would you like to say anything to the group?
Just keep plucking.
Just keep plucking. Thank you so much for joining us always. And we will be back to our regular programming as of today. What are you looking forward to?
What am I looking forward to?
She's just checking her calendar.
I'm literally just checking my calendar.
Any colonoscopies that we've got on board?
No, I don't think I've got – do you know, I don't think I've got any I tell you what we did today, which I was looking forward to for tomorrow, was the Nicholas Harding exhibition, which was going on down in Manly – that was really nice.
Oh, and if you haven't been to the Arthur Street, and it's closing soon. It's at the New South Wales Gallery and it's brilliant.
Yeah, I really want to do that. And also the other thing, we might be going to – we might be going to Adelaide next weekend.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you won't be.
No, we won't be. Well, when we looked into going, They said, okay, well, you can come to Adelaide. You then need to – you have to then have a
test
the minute you – when you get here. And then you have to isolate until you get your results, which could take up to 24 hours. And then we went, okay, so we go down on a Friday evening and then – okay, so that could write off the whole Saturday. And then we've got
to come back on Sunday.
And then we're coming back on Sunday. But the issue then became the flights are all weird.
Being
so
canceled.
There's only one direct flight from Sydney to Adelaide a day.
And what's to stop to say that we don't have a flare up and,
the rest
have to
go from Sydney to Melbourne and Melbourne. So it's just like, it's too hard.
Just going anywhere.
But
you
poor
guys,
Robbie, like he hasn't seen his family for a year.
Skype. He's going to have
I know,
to
he
Skype.
Does. We do.
Anyway, so. We'll catch up with you next week. Hopefully better news all around. Thank you so much for everything. And as we like to say,
just keep plucking.